thank you for the introduction and the invitation. Today, I'm going to tell you about some relation that exists between Pilevy equations and a particular class of four-dimensional n equal to 2 theories. So just to give you an overview, Pilevy equations, as we will see, are a particular set of second-order ordinary differential equations in one variable, which I call t, the time, which can be thought as the equations of motion coming from a classical interval system with a time Hamiltonian h, which is time-dependent. So since the Hamiltonian is time-dependent, we can as well study its evolution under time, and also the evolution of a strictly relative function, which is this tau function. And they also satisfy another set of second-order ordinary differential equations. Now, there has been some progress recently, mainly due to one of my collaborators, Lusovy, on the study of these tau functions. He was able to show that, at least for some of the Pilevy equation, the tau function can be written down as a series around small times in terms of the instanton partition function for a four-dimensional n equal to 2 theory, in particular SU2 superQCD, so with flavors from 0 up to 4. For each flavor, there is a corresponding Pilevy equation. And this is important because it was believed in the theory of Pilevy equations that the solutions of these equations do not admit any analytic expression, at least for the general case. Now, there are a couple of problems. One problem is that this correspondence does not cover all of the possible equations. And another problem is that, for mathematical reasons, it is also interesting to study these tau functions at large time. So this is what we were trying to do in this project. And what we were able to show is that the large time asymptotics for the tau functions of all the Pilevy equations can be written in terms of the Nekrasov partition functions, both for n equal to 2 SU2 superQCD and Algiers Douglas theories, where this Nekrasov partition function is a bit special because it's computed around the magnetic and ionic poles. So it's a strongly coupled Nekrasov partition function. Of course, we don't know how to compute this object in general, but this is where Pilevy equations enter. The basic idea is that we make a reasonable ansatz motivated by gauge theory for this tau function. We know the equation that this tau function has to satisfy. And with this information, we are able to compute this strongly coupled Nekrasov partition function. And let me just remark that all the computations I will be doing are at this particular value of the omega background. So let's start and introduce what Pilevy equations are. Pilevy equations arise in the problem of classifying all nonlinear second order degree one ordinary differential equations in one variable t, which is time. So we have equations of this form, where this function f should be meromorphic in time and rational in q and q dot, where dot means derivation with respect to time. Moreover, we want to impose the so-called Pilevy property. We are looking for equations such that the only movable singularities of the solution q are poles, which means the position of the branch points and essential singularities of the solution q are fixed and determined by the equation itself, while the position of the poles for the solution can depend on the initial conditions or integration constants for this ordinary differential equation. These equations have been classified, and they are known under the name Pilevy 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And these equations depend on some number of parameters from 4 up to 0. And we have an example for a simple equation. This is the equation for Pilevy 2, which depends on qt, and alpha is our additional parameter. Now, later developments on the theory of Pilevy led to a refinement of this classification, mainly due to the study of the space of possible initial conditions and the relation of these equations to integrability and lax pairs. So the final result is that actually there are 8 equations which are related by this diagram, which is known as the confluence diagram. And this is telling you that starting from the Pilevy 6 equation, you can recover all of the other Pilevy equations by taking appropriate scaling of parameters and variables. Let me remark that in this box and in this box, I put 2 equations. So all in all, we have 10 equations here. But those 2 and those 2 are identified. They are related by a change of variables. but typically people keep them distinguished because they arise from different Lux pairs, as we will see later. And moreover, let me also comment on the fact that this classification, which was originated by the study of the space of initial conditions, has also some relation to the space of symmetry of these equations. There is a particular symmetry group which leaves these equations invariant, which are actually these kind of groups here. Now, from this diagram, this is something similar to a similar diagram existing in H theory, and it is the diagram giving you the confluence for the Seibel-Witten curves of SE2 with four flavor and going on along the RG flow. So for in four-dimensional n equal to 2 theories, you know that you can take, for example, the Seibel-Witten curve for SE2 with four flavor, and by appropriately scaling parameters of the Seibel-Witten curve, you can get the Seibel-Witten curve for SE2 with three flavor, or SE2 with two flavors, or these Argyris-Douglas theories here. Notice that we have two elements here and two elements here, as in the previous diagram, because SU2 with two flavors and the Argyris-Douglas theory H1 can be realized in two different ways in the so-called class S construction, and they also can also be realized in two different ways via a brain construction. For example, for SU2 with two flavors, we have a construction where the two flavors, which are these lines here, are put symmetrically, or there is another construction where the two flavors are put asymmetrically. And then there is also a nice identification between the symmetry of the Pellenbe equations and the flavor symmetry of our gauge theories. So this is the first hint towards the fact that Pellenbe theory and four-dimensional n equal to two theories are related. In order to understand better this connection, I have to tell you how Pellenbe equations can be realized. There are two interesting realizations. The first one comes from classical Hamiltonian systems. As I was telling you in the introduction, Pellenbe equations can be written as the equations of motion for some classical integral system with a time-dependent Hamiltonian. For each Pellenbe equation, we have an associated Hamiltonian, which is time-dependent, and then we can study its time evolution. Typically, the Hamiltonian is called sigma function in Pellenbe theory, and the equation of motion satisfied by this sigma function is called sigma Pellenbe equation, which is another second order, but in this case degree 2, ordinary differential equation in time. And then we also have another interesting equation, which is the equation for the tau function, related to the sigma function by an expression like this form. And we are interested mainly in the tau function because the tau function is the one that enters in physical applications. To give you a couple of examples, we have the Hamiltonian or sigma function for Pellenbe 2. You see it depends on P, on Q, on time, and on additional parameter alpha. You take this Hamiltonian, you compute the equations of motions, and you recover Pellenbe 2. And you can also show that this sigma function satisfies this equation, which is the sigma Pellenbe 2 equation. Similar thing for Pellenbe 3.3, we have this Hamiltonian for which we can derive these equations of motion, and this equation is the Pellenbe 3.3 equation. And this is the equation satisfied by the sigma function. I want to tell you now that there exists a qualitative difference between Pellenbe 1, 2, and 4 and the other Pellenbe equations, and the difference is that for the other equations, the equation itself has a singularity both at t equal to 0 and at t equal to infinity. While for Pellenbe 1, 2, and 4, there is only the singularity at infinity and not the one at t equal to 0. And this is all for the first realization. There is a second realization that is more interesting for connecting to gauge theories, and it comes from considering isomodernomic deformations of systems of linear ordinary differential equations. Remember that before we were considering nonlinear equations, and these nonlinear equations can be seen to arise from a system of linear equations, which are typically easier to study. The idea is the following. We consider a 2x2 systems of linear ordinary differential equations of this kind, where z is the coordinate on a Pancher-Riemann sphere. This psi is the solution of the system, and it is an invertible 2x2 matrix. And this A is a 2x2 matrix, which is traceless. this A matrix can have poles at the positions of the punctures in the Riemann sphere. We can have simple poles or higher order poles. If we have a simple pole, we say that the singularity is regular, which means that the solution will have a branch point around this singularity. While if we have a higher order pole, then we say that the singularity is irregular, and the solution will have an essential singularity around this point. So for the case of regular singularity, the solution around this regular singularity will behave like this, which means it will acquire monodromy if I take my solution and I do a loop around my regular singularity. And I will call the monodromy matrix that arises in this process by M nu. Similarly, if I have an irregular singularity, the behavior of the solution will be more complicated. It may arise the so-called Stokes phenomenon. So for example, if I approach my irregular singularity from this direction, or if I approach this irregular singularity from this direction, the two asymptotic expansions for the solutions will be different, but they will be related by a matrix which is called the Stokes matrix S nu. So how is this related to the theory of Panleve equations? Till now, we didn't see any time, any Panleve equations. The fact is that once you choose A, the monodromy matrices and the Stokes matrices for the solution are fixed. The converse is not true. If you give me monodromy matrices and Stokes matrices, there could be many different matrices A associated to the same data. So this means that we can consider deformations of the matrix A, which leave the monodromy and Stokes matrices invariant, and these are known under the name of isomonodromy deformations of the matrix A. For the case of Panleve, there will be just one deformation parameter, which is the time. In the easiest example, with sphere with four punctures, we can always fix three of the four punctures to be at 0, 1, and infinity, and the deformation parameter is the position of the fourth singularity t. And isomonodromy deformations are deformations of the matrix A, so the deformations of the matrix A, which leave this monodromy invariant, so deformations of the position t of this point, such that the monodromies are the same. Now there is a whole theory on isomonodromy deformations. Basically, the point is that you can say a deformation T is isomonodromic if it exists another 2x2 matrix B, such that this equation is satisfied. But this is not enough, because now you have that your solution C has to satisfy two sets of linear ordinary differential equations, one in Z and one in T, which means that we need to have some compatibility conditions for these two systems. This compatibility condition is given by these equations for the this equation for the A and B matrices. And from this equation, you will get a system of equations for Q, P, and other things that eventually led to the Panleve equations. And the type of Panleve equation you get depends on the Riemann surface that you are considering. For example, with four regular singularities, you get Panleve 6. With two regular and one irregular singularity, you get Panleve 5, etc., etc. Let me also say that these matrices A and B are known under the name of Lux pair for the Panleve equation. So an example, again, Panleve 2, we have explicit expressions for the matrix A and the matrix B. The elements of these matrices are P, Q, Z, time, additional parameters theta, and there is also this additional parameter u, which is not really important because it can be written just in terms of q. So you take this A, you take this B, you plug them into this compatibility condition, you will get that q dot has to satisfy this equation, p dot has to satisfy this equation, from which you get the second Panleve equation. And now we notice the following thing. We notice that if you take this combination, 1/2 trace of A squared, this matrix A, you will get something familiar. You get something which strongly resembles the Seibel-Witten curve for the Argyros-Toras theory H1. With the natural correspondence, time will be identified with the coupling parameters of the Argyros-Toras theory. The additional parameters of Panleve will be identified with the masses. And then Q and P will combine together in order to form the sigma function, which is the Hamiltonian for Pinelevel 2, which can be identified basically with the Coulomb branch parameter for your Argyris Douglas theory. And this happens more in general for all of the Pinelevel equations. You will always get some Seibel-Witten curve for some four-dimensional gauge theory, according to the diagram we saw in the introduction. And in fact, people in the theory of Pinelevel equations showed that there exists a limit of our connection of our system, this one, to a Higgs bundle, which is the Higgs bundle that enters into the determination of the Seibel-Witten curve for gauge theories. The idea is that you have to rescale all of the parameters and variables in your isomonology problem in such a way to make manifest a Planck constant-like variable kappa. This is just an overall scale that you can send to zero. If you send this kappa to zero, this part will disappear. You will just remain with A, an holomorphic matrix A, which is what enters in the so-called Higgs bundle that will be reviewed later. And you know that if you have a Higgs bundle, this is always associated to some integral system. You can construct the spectral curve for this system. And we constructed this for the Pinelevel equations, and we saw that this always coincides with some Seibel-Witten curve. Actually, you can also do the converse. You can start from kappa equal to zero and turn on K to turn on kappa by doing what are called as isospectral and Witten deformations, but this is just a comment. So this is another hint that Pinelevel theories has something to do with Higgs bundles, and since we also have some connection here, this have to do with flat connection, some Riemann surface, so we can expect some relation to a Hitchin system. And we know that Hitchin system naturally enter in the construction of four-dimensional theories, which is known as the class S construction. So let me quickly review this class S construction of four-dimensional n equal to theory. The idea is the following. You start from 62,0 theory, in this case of type A1, because we are interested in SU2 theories or theories of rank 1. On this background, R3 times a circle times a puncture Riemann surface. So if you do a twisted compactification on our Riemann surface, you get a four-dimensional n equal to 2 theory in this background. And then you can further compactify on this circle and get a three-dimensional n equal to 4 theory, which is a sigma model with a target space, which is the Hitchin moduli space associated to the puncture Riemann surface CGN, which we use for the compactification. Why is this moduli space the Hitchin moduli space? Well, in order to see this, people typically consider some reverse compactification. You first compactify on the circle. You get a five-dimensional maximally supersymmetric theory, which you can further compactify, twisted compactification on this Riemann surface in order to get the same three-dimensional theory with the same target space, but in this case, it is known that the target space is the Hitchin moduli space associated to the Riemann surface because it is known that the five-dimensional BPS configurations, Poincaré invariants under R3, coincide with the moduli space of solutions to the Hitchin equations associated to this puncture Riemann surface. But what is the Hitchin moduli space? Basically, it's the moduli space of solutions of this set of equations, modulo the action of the gauge group, with some prescribed singularities for the fields around the punctures of the Riemann sphere. Well, these fields have a natural interpretation if you consider of this three-dimensional theory coming from the five-dimensional one. In fact, okay, Z is just the coordinate on the puncture Riemann surface. This F is the field strength for some gauge field on the Riemann surface, which comes from the five-dimensional gauge field. And this phi field is a complex field made out of two out of the five real scalar fields of the five-dimensional maximally supersymmetric theory. They combine together to form a scalar multiplet that, after twist on the Riemann surface, is a 1-0 form. And then, of course, you also have to specify the singular behavior of the field phi and of the connection A. And again, you will have regular or irregular singularities according to if you have regular or irregular punctures. Now, this Hitchian moduli space is a hyper-Kellerian manifold, and it emits many different possible complex structures. Typically, you label the complex structure by a parameter zeta. And the description of the Hitchian moduli space is quite different according to the value of the zeta. For generic values of zeta, the Hitchian moduli space is equivalent to the moduli space of flat connections of this type on our Riemann surface. While if zeta is equal to zero, the Hitchian moduli space reduces to the moduli space of the so-called Higgs bundle. Higgs bundle is basically a holomorphic field phi, which is holomorphic because of these Hitchian equations. And we know by work of Donaggio and Witten that to a Higgs bundle is always associated a classical integral system whose spectral curve coincides with the Stabler-Witten curve associated to our four-dimensional theory. And the Hamiltonians of this classical integral system are basically the Coulomb branch moduli U of the four-dimensional theory. And this spectral curve can be constructed just by knowing the so-called Higgs field phi. Now, since we got another Higgs bundle, we can compare this Higgs bundle with the Higgs bundle of Pain-Levin, and as expected, they are just the same. So the spectral curve you get from the Pain-Levin system is the same thing as the spectral curve you obtain from the Hitchian system. Moreover, the Hamiltonian of Pain-Levin is naturally identified with the Coulomb branch parameter of the four-dimensional theory. This is the comparison for kappa equal to zero and zeta equal to zero. What happens when kappa is different from zero and we have the full Pain-Levin connection? Well, in this case, it turns out that you can identify the full Pain-Levin connection with the flat connection of the Hitchian system, but in a particular limit, which is known as the upper limit, in which you send r to 0, zeta to 0, but you keep this parameter, this ratio, zeta over r equal to h bar, fixed. And so we are identifying this kappa parameter of Pain-Levin with this particular combination of parameters in the Hitchian system, h bar. So just to sum up, we have this dictionary between the Hitchian system associated to the four-dimensional n equal to 2 theory and the Pain-Levin isomodronomic problem. The connection of Pain-Levin is associated to the upper limit of the flat connection. The overall scale is just this upper parameter. The time in the Pain-Levin Hamiltonian corresponds to the gauge coupling to the instanton counting parameter in the four-dimensional theory. The Hamiltonian of Pain-Levin is the Coulomb branch parameter. And the free parameters that were entering the Pain-Levin equations just corresponds to the masses, to the flavor parameters of our four-dimensional theory.
All of this is for SU2, right?
This is for SU2 superQCD and Argyris-Douglas as well. So let's say rank one theories in four dimensions. So if this correspondence between Pain-Levin and gauge theories is more or less clear, I want to discuss some application of this correspondence. But in order to do this, I have to tell you how Pain-Levin equations enter in conformal field theory. So there are old works of the Japanese group in Kyoto by Jimbo, Miwa, and Sato. These guys were able to relate the solution of the system of linear ordinary differential equations associated to Pain-Levin to some conformal field theory problem. So their statement is that the solution of this system can be written in a conformal field theory at C equal to 1 of free fermions with an expression like this one, where these fields are the free fermions, and these fields O, we are considering the case of a Riemann surface with four punctures for simplicity, and these four fields are inserted at the four punctures at 0, T, 1, at infinity. And they are known as twist fields or spin fields or holonomic fields. Now, what is the idea? The idea is that, as I told you before, once I have A, my monodromy matrices for the solutions are fixed and completely determined. So the idea would be to construct operators O, fields O, such that their operator product expansion with the fermion fields is such that automatically gives me this monodromy matrix. So the only problem is to prove the existence of such fields O with such properties. And this is what the Japanese group did in the past. And they were basically able to show that you can give an expression like this one for these twist fields in terms of a fermion bilinear. An interesting fact is that this four-point correlator turns out to coincide with the tau function for pi level 6 in this case. So one could hope to give a representation for this pi level tau function in terms of conformal blocks, particular four-point conformal block in our case. But there is a subtle problem with respect to the usual case. The problem is the following. If I want to compute this four-point conformal block, let's say in the channel in which I take the OP between 0 and t, I have many fields in the OP, and if these fields will have some monodromy matrix mt, m0. Now, let's say that the monodromy matrix has eigenvalue exponential of 2 pi I sigma, plus or minus, then this sigma is only defined up to an integer n. But now the problem is that the dimension of the fields entering this OP exactly coincides with sigma. So we are expecting an infinite number of fields in this OP with a conformal dimension given by sigma plus shift by an integer. So we expect the tau function to be given by an infinite linear combination of four-point correlators. And now we can use the AGT correspondence in order to compute this four-point correlator in terms of the instant composition function for SU2 with four flavor. And at the end, we get an expression like this one. Actually, my collaborator obtained an expression like this one, where you have an infinite linear combinations of Nekrasov partition functions weighted by some overall phase. And this is exactly a solution for the equation for the tau function of pi level 6. Now let me just comment on the meaning of these parameters. Remember that we are in a sequel to one conformal field theory. In gauge theory language, this means that we are in the epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 equal to 0 limit. So we just have an overall scale epsilon, which is the analog of kappa and h bar we saw before. And the conformal dimensions of our twist fields will correspond to the masses. And the integration constants eta and sigma, those are integration constants for the pi level tau equation, will correspond to the Coulomb branch parameters A and its dual. And moreover, the time variable, which is small, will correspond to the instanton counting parameter, which is small as well. And then my collaborator showed that you can use this coalescence diagram we saw in the introduction in order to obtain a small time series expansion for also for the tau function of pi level 5, pi level 3.1, pi level 3.2, and pi level 3.3, which is written down in terms of the Nekrasov partition function of SU2 with 3, 2, 1, or 0 flavor. And this is what was already done in the past. Now, the problem is that these expansions do not cover the cases of pi level 1, pi level 2, and pi level 4. This is because, as I was saying at a certain point, these three cases do not have a singularity. These three equations do not have a singularity at t equal to 0. They only have a singularity at t equal to infinity. So we only expect nice expansions around t equal to infinity. But one could expect that if we need to compute something at t equal to infinity, this would correspond, because of this dictionary, to some strongly coupled regime in the gauge theories. And we don't know how to compute the gauge theory partition function at strong coupling. So what we did was to do something like this. We did a reasonable ansatz on the form of the tau function against some linear combination of Nekrasov-like partition function. In this case, we are thinking of this Nekrasov partition function as evaluated at strong coupling, magnetic point or dionic point, in such a way that the instanton coupling parameter will be large. Now, we have these ansatz. We can plug these ansatz into the equation satisfied by the pi level tau functions. And if we do this, we are able to extract this Nekrasov partition function at strong coupling around all possible t equal to infinity points. Remember, there could be a Stokes phenomena around t equal to infinity, and the different sectors will correspond to different expansions, like the magnetic and the ionic one. So in this way, we are able to extract the Nekrasov partition function for Argyris-Douglas theories, corresponding to Paleeve 4, 2, and 1, and as well for the strongly coupled regimes for Paleeve 5, 3, 1, 3, 2, and 3, 3, corresponding to SU2 super QCD. To give you an example, again, Paleeve 2, you make an ansatz of this form for the tau function of Paleeve 2, and you plug it into your equation satisfied by this function, and you get an expression like this one that factorizes in a classical part, one loop part, these are Barnes gamma function, and the instanton-like part. So this is the first expansion around this phase for t, and we also have another expansion around different phases of t, and you can see that the behavior, the form of these expansions are qualitatively different. For example, from this one loop factor, we can see that there will be just one light particle in this sector, while from these two Barnes gamma function, we can understand there will be an SU2 doublet of light particles.
So you don't know how many Stokes chambers are there?
Yeah, you can compute the number of Stokes chambers starting from the equation. Couple of remarks are in order. Expressions like this one already appeared in the literature under the name of dual instanton partition function in the original paper by Nekrasov and Okunkov. And it also appeared as the so-called I-brain system partition function, which is a theory of chiral free fermions on a Riemann surface, which comes from the intersection of D4 and D6 brains. And this was work by Ditchcraft, Holland, Sulkowski, and Baffa. Another comment is that these tau functions are, by construction, quasi-periodic in sigma. So if you shift sigma to sigma plus 1, this tau function will acquire a phase. So it means that this tau function is diagonalized by the shift operators in sigma. And this might have applications for the so-called Berlinde loop algebra, because it means that this tau function simultaneously diagonalizes both the Wilson loop and the Toft loop in the Berlinde loop algebra, which makes sense because the Berlinde loop algebra becomes commutative only at c equal to 1. In general, it is not commutative. And I also want to mention the fact that this tau function can be interpreted as a spectral or Fredholm determinant for some Fermi gas or polymer matrix model. So it just contains information on the energy levels of this Fermi gas. And the energy for this Fermi gas is exactly given by the Wilson loop of the Berlinde loop algebra, evaluated at this value of sigma or A, such that this tau function is equal to 0. Yeah, I still have some time left, so I would like to comment on some possible generalization of this story between Paleeve theories and gauge theories. We saw that there is a correspondence between differential Paleeve equations and SU2, n equal to 2 theories of rank 1. The story is more general. The confluence diagram is actually bigger. This is the box we considered before, which is associated to differential Paleeve equations, but there are also finite difference equations, which are these equations and all of these equations. Now, from the Lax pair for this finite difference equation, you can identify these three ones with the so-called Minahan and Menshansky in four dimensions, E6 is only 8, while this line above will correspond to five-dimensional theories. So in terms of topological strings, this will be local P2. This will be SU2 with zero flavor, with theta angle 0 and theta angle pi. And then we have SU2 with one flavor, two flavor, three flavor, four flavor, five flavor, six flavor, seven flavor. And then there is a last equation, which is this one, which should correspond to SU2 with eight flavors, which is actually expected to be a six-dimensional theory. And on the Paleeve side, this is reflected by the fact that this is actually an elliptic equation and not just a finite difference equation. Now, what we think is that at least for this upper line, this story might be related to recent developments by Marinian collaborators and who are studying the relation between topological strings and spectral determinants. Their story is the following. You start by considering a local Calabi-Yau threefolds, and you can consider the mirror of this local Calabi-Yau threefold, and the mirror is given by a curve in X and P space. This is the expression for the curve. Then you can quantize this curve, and you get an operator, OX hat. And they showed that the inverse of this operator is always of trace class, which means it admits an infinite number of discrete eigenvalues, and the trace of the eigenvalues converges. If you have the eigenvalues, you can construct the so-called spectral of Fredholm determinants, which is just given by this expression, which depends on the fugacity U, which is basically the Coulomb-Reich parameter for your five-dimensional theory. And this expression is nice because from the theory of Fredholm determinants, you know that this will be an entire function of the fugacity U. Now, their conjecture is that the spectral determinant can be written down entirely in terms of topological strings. In particular, you also have an infinite linear combination of things, which depends on this grand potential Jx. This Jx is made out of two contributions. The first one is just the unrefined topological strings, so basically the five-dimensional partition function, again at epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 equal to 0. The second part is called WKB part, and it's entirely made out of the Nekrasov-Shadashvili limit of the instanton partition function in 5D. So it's very similar to what we had for the Pahlevi tau functions, and the similarity is even stricter because we know that tau functions for Pahlevi are related to Fredholm determinants as well. Moreover, it has been shown that at least in the case in which this toric Calabi-Yau threefold is local F0, there exists a limit from this spectral determinant computed via five-dimensional partition function to the tau function for Pahlevi 3-3, which basically would correspond to this line. You go from SU2 with zero flavor in 5D to SU2 with zero flavor in 4D. Although some details are still left to be cleared. So to sum up, I discussed how Pahlevi equations are related to four-dimensional n equal to 2 theories via their construction with Hitchin systems. I showed that the hopper associated to the flat connection of the Hitchin system correspond to the Pahlevi connection. And I showed how the tau function for this Pahlevi equation can be written down in terms of the so-called dual instanton partition functions, both at weak coupling if we want some small time expansion, at strong coupling if we want some large time expansion. And with this, we were able to compute the Nekrasov partition function both for super QCD and Algiers-Douglas theories at all magnetic and ionic points. So now, future directions would be to try and understand if we can compute the Nekrasov partition function at a real Algiers-Douglas superconformal point in which both magnetic and electric particles become simultaneously massless. We don't know how to do this at the moment. Another idea would be to try and study the solutions of this Pahlevi system of linear ordinary differential equations, which might involve instanton partition functions in the presence of a defect, both at weak and strong coupling. Another interesting question would be to understand what happens when C is different from 1. I think this would involve quantization of the Pahlevi Hamiltonian. And finally, there is this nice possible connection to the story by Marinho and collaborators, which in any case is related to Q difference Pahlevi equations and not to differential equations. But for today, that's all. Thanks.
So the Pahlevi equation has also relation to the classical conformal plot. So can you use your formulas to study
classical limit of conformal blocks.
And this is not clear because so classical conformal block is for b equal to infinity, right?
Right. But
so I know that people discussed Penleve equations also in relation to this classical limit, but it's not clear the relation between that limit and our limit, although both are related to Penleve equations. This is something we don't understand.
Yeah, I understand that, but can you just take your formula in terms of instantaneous partition functions and kind of try to study it?
That would be take the Necrasov partition function, this NS limit.
Yeah,
well, and well, we didn't try actually, but we didn't try because we were using this result by the Japanese group.
Right.
They were using explicitly this C equal to one conformative theory, which is not what you would have in the classical limit. It would be central charge infinity.
What I was saying is that you have a formula of the Penleve equation,
yeah,
function in terms of C equal 1,
mm-hmm,
case, so can use that formula and then use another relation to the classical conformal block and then study the classical conformal block using your expression.
I don't know if maybe this would require knowledge at both epsilons or not, but I'm not that sure. I have to think about it.
Thank you.